Great day, amazing human. Yes, welcome to Empowered Up My Skin podcast, where our mission is to help 1 billion people in this world think in more empowering ways. Empowered humans empower humans. So you are in the right place to become a lead domino for empowerment today. My name is Nkechi Mwafa Robinson. I'm not only your host, but I am a vibrant optimist obsessed to bring you empowering content with every single episode. We will bring you weekly content alternating between longer episodes with featured guests and a shorter episode called Empowering Bites, where I will be joined by my co-host, Gabby Memone. So if you're ready, let the show begin. Great day, amazing humans. Yes, I'm so bubbly for this one because you are in for a treat because today's episode to me is extra special. It's the season finale and we're closing it out with heart and laughter and a whole lot of Gabby 1B energy. As you know, she's a powerhouse with purpose, a kindness crusader, and my Empowering Bites co-host who brings light wherever she goes. Ever since she's been in my life, I just can tell you life has been on the increase. And so from boardrooms to global stages, from navigating MS to champion humanity, Gabby lives and leads and lifts others in the most beautiful way. So get ready for a conversation that's full of truth, joy, and nudging wisdom. You'll laugh, you'll reflect, and you'll walk away feeling like anything is absolutely possible. So please join me in what you know already as a big, gigantic podcast welcome for Gabby 1B Memone.
Wow, what an introduction. Thank you so much.
No problem. You just fill my heart with so much joy and truly you are a kindness crusader. I love that. You're so awesome.
Thank you.
As I start every episode and you're getting the full treat, okay, today. So what has been your most empowering thought of the day so far?
Oh, wow. My most empowering. So just to let the record show, even though I've been Kitchy's co-host on our Empowering Bites episodes, these questions are not planned.
So That's right. This is a guest interview. She has absolutely no idea what I'm going to ask her. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you. So I actually had several empowering thoughts today. So if I were to reduce it to one.
And hold on. I just want everyone to know she said several and it's only 2:00 PM at the time we're recording this. So
yes, yeah. That's right.
Hashtag goals. Okay. Go.
I've had several, you know, the year is almost done, mm-hmm. 2025, and I was just evaluating where I'm at in my life and what I've achieved this year and what I want to achieve next year. And full transparency, with a health challenge, I had some curveballs thrown at me over the last couple of weeks, which I believe will change some of my plans for next year. Mm. And so I would have to say that it's easy to kind of get down and out about things when you get these curveballs thrown at you.
Yeah.
But I was able to flip the script. And so my empowering thought about that health journey that I'm on is, okay, what am I going to change to feel better? What am I going to do to lessen the load? What am I going to do to increase my boundaries? What am I going to do to protect my energy? Mm-hmm. And so that's what the empowering thought process was for me. It's like, how am I going to do this to be able to reach my end goal of taking care of me, my health. So it's actually quite empowering because I get to be in charge.
I love that. And you know, I just want to make it clear, like I actually have notes for our episode and interesting. I love like, this is how I feel like aligned. Like that was just so divine. And this question is actually where I'll get to double click a bit on that. So I think a lot of people can probably, you know, relate to what you just experienced without even knowing the details. But I think the flip is that how many of us get stuck in feeling like that's the end versus what I just got was inspiration from you in terms of what are all the things that you can continue to tweak and pivot so that you continue to grow and move forward. Right. So, yeah.
Thank you. And yeah, we all go through this. And I've known this about you for years since I've known you. And it's easy to get down and out. And it's easy to kind of go through the why me bandwagon. But ultimately, that's not going to get us anywhere. We have to use our energy where it's necessary, which is focusing on the end goal and what do you have to do to get there and what do you have to change and and be okay with it.
You know something else? I'm also really excited because I truly do believe that, like they always say, the profundity is never in the answer. It's always in the question. But I'm actually, what I'm looking forward to learning is more about you through the questions that I'm going to ask. So first one is really, it's a backseat story. So today you are in a different seat than you normally occupy as guest, as co-host. And you have been such a consistent, energizing force on Empowering Bites. Like we often talk about the blessing that we get when we come, when we meet to just actually pick each other's brain, but have those really short, but sweet, really impactful moments that we then get to share with the world. But how does it feel to flip the mic today and reflect on your journey? I just want to, you know, what do you feel?
Yeah, thank you. Well, initially it was odd because usually we have these discussions and we're still having it, but it's different. But it feels great. I mean, you know, I love you and I love what you've created here. And I love how people that are tuning in, watching YouTube or listening to your podcast or downloading, it's all about empowering, right? It's all about the kindness, the resilience, the intention, the storytelling, the communication, all the things that make Empowering Bites what it is. And that's my essence. That's the essence of my existence. So it aligns well. So I'm excited.
Okay. And well, you're one for one. Okay. I don't know any other Gabby 1B Mamone. I know some other Gabby 1Bs, but no one that defines themselves as Gabby 1B. Okay. And so for those that are just meeting you today, which is possible because they don't tune into Empowering Bites, how would you describe your mission in this world?
For sure. So I actually have a personal vision statement. And my vision statement is to empower individuals and organizations with the tools, the confidence, and the clarity to communicate with impact, lead with kindness, and create spaces where every voice is heard. So I do that through storytelling, connection, intentional action. I foster unity, resilience, and transformation. And I help people and teams and organizations thrive in their purpose, their message, and their mission.
And Gabby, how did you sort of stumble in? Because you're an incredible storyteller. And I met you on a day when you were telling a story, right? At John Ribeiro's, what was it called?
Fearless Voices.
Fearless Voices. Yeah. And I was mesmerized. And, but how did you recognize that storytelling was a great medium for you to really share your life?
I would say it came out of necessity. Because 21 years ago, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And I admit that the first few years for me were very difficult because I kept it from a lot of people, my employer, my extended family, my friends. So I lived in this silence. But living in that silence, I know why I did it. I don't necessarily recommend that for anyone who's newly diagnosed, but I know why I did it. And I understand why people stay silent. You know, it's just the fear of not being promoted. I was at the top of my game at work and the fear of being judged and the fear of what's going to happen. And so those fears stayed with me. And I found that I started going to like self-help groups of people like me that were newly diagnosed. And I'll be honest, my goal with going was to feel better. But what happened sometimes is that I felt worse when I left. And the reason why is because I was in an environment where people were very sad about their diagnosis and fearful about their future. And whilst those are all very noble and understandable feelings, I wanted to be in an environment where I could feel empowered. And it's like, what do I do with this? What's my purpose? And so I asked for permission if I could run one of the meetings.
Really? I didn't know this.
I asked for permission if I could run one of the meetings and they said, okay. So here I was newly diagnosed, but my goal was to like, rah, rah, like we can do this. So I wanted to just put a flip on it. It's like, okay, friends, what can we talk about that's going to empower us to allow us to feel better about our diagnosis? What can we do with this? What can we do well? Focus on what we can do well. And so then the conversations were really positive. We were laughing. We were joking. And it was wonderful. So then I started leading each monthly meeting. It was
So then they asked you to keep coming back.
Yeah. And so that's when I realized back then is how important storytelling was, because we all shared our stories. And that's really when my journey started in speaking as well. I had been a speaker. We're all speakers. Yes, but never a paid professional speaker. But for me, then I started speaking more at fundraising events and events where people were newly diagnosed, and thanking sponsors, all with MS Canada. But then it started to grow. And then I started to get extensive training. I went to Dale Carnegie. I went to Toastmasters. I went to Speakers Boutique. I went to Speaker Slam. Like, I did a ton of speaking education programs to really up my game, and I had several coaches, and then I was on a TEDx stage, and my speaking journey grew. And that's when I realized storytelling is key, no matter what we do. And it, you don't have to be a speaker, but in order to equip people, leaders, change makers with confidence, to communicate with authenticity, it's really comes from the story. And so that's where my journey started.
So I want to go back a second, because like fill the gap a bit. So you were diagnosed, and then you had this sort of revelation in one of these self-help that, you know, no, I don't want to feel pity. I want to figure out what is it that we can do despite what we have, or do with what we have. Right. Yeah. But what was in you already that enabled you to like get to that on your own, and be the one to shine the light on what's possible in that type of environment?
I have to attribute my parents for that. You know, they always were kind people, and, you know, my mother today will reach out however she can to support people. And my dad, you know, up in heaven, he was my person. And so he led by example, and he always saw the positive side of whatever situation we were in. Everybody listening, we know you have a story. We know you've been through a tumultuous time. We know you've been fearful of something or had an issue. The reality is, though, is that even though that is the situation, that's not your narrative. You can do so much more. There's so much more to look forward to. There's so many beautiful things that you can do. And so I think for me, it was just, I had those role models. And then when it came practice where I had some issues, not just with my health, but then my kids had health issues, and my family had issues, and there were deaths in the family and challenges at work. And, you know, you when you are faced with these times, you can face them or you can be negative about it. And then what you focus on grows. And, you know, my father, for anyone that knows this story, he loved gardening, and he would grow all kinds of vegetables. And he had a goal to be in the Guinness Book of World Records for growing the longest zucchini, because what you focus on grows. And, you know, that analogy of planting the seed is such a powerful thing. And many people plant the seed and then they dig up their own seed. Right. But if you plant the seed and you water it with vision, love, kindness, hope, compassion, then that's what will grow. And that's what we need to do in life. I've really learned is whatever you're going through, because we all have trouble, focus on growing that seed to what you want it to blossom into.
That's so beautiful. You know, when your dad passed, you shared something with me, and I actually think it was, I want to say it was on a podcast episode. You might have shared it publicly somewhere else, but I remember when my dad passed after yours, I actually took what you shared and used it in his eulogy. And I want to know, you know, years past now, what your sort of feeling is. So what you had shared with me, and I just more so paraphrase, but you essentially had said to me that your dad taught you a lot of things.
Yes.
It actually wasn't an episode. Your dad taught you a lot of things. And one of the things you realized after he had passed is that he had never really taught you how to live life without him.
That's right.
So as you, with years having passed, is that still like, do you still have a different perspective on that now? Or do you, like, because you clearly have blossomed and grown. I've seen how you have embodied your dad, you know, and And there's just something that's so aligned with your name that not only I say it, others say it, is your resilience, your relentless pursuit to continue to press forward and move forward, irrespective of whatever challenges you have. And I think that that's so remarkable. So I'll stop there. Like, what do you, I know you said that, is that, what have you sort of learned over the years since?
Just for context, it's been over 5 years since my dad passed, and it was a very tragic, traumatic passing that he went through. And yeah, I mean, I still have that hole in my heart. Mm-hmm. I've just learned to live around it. Mm-hmm. And so I do believe that it did become a little easier as time has passed. But ultimately, he never taught me how to live without him. I've navigated those waters on my own. And I've learned a lot of things, but I still have conversations with him. Mm-hmm. And I still go to certain parts in the city that I know he's present. So sometimes, you know, and my friend Anna Lopes shared this with me. I don't have to go to the cemetery to be with my dad. Yeah. You know, so for anyone that lost someone, you know, if there's a park bench, if there's a spot by the water, if there's a shopping mall, if there's somewhere where that was special to that person. So for me, it's his backyard where he built his garden mm-hmm. and a fountain. So I'll pull up a chair and I'll sit there and I'll have a conversation with him. And so I do still go to him for guidance. And then what I've learned to do now is to trust my intuition and trust that signs that I'm seeing or what I'm hearing is still him.
Yeah. So I want to, I want to go a little bit more on, especially as we get to the end of the year and we're looking into the view of 2026, and kindness is just such a big part of your brand, right? Like, and I think it's built on it. It's been rooted in it. It's grown obviously beyond it. But it, you know, why do you feel like in that kindness is such a powerful leadership force, and why it's so important for leaders to grab hold of it?
Mm-hmm. Kindness is a strength. And so sometimes people mistake kindness for weakness, mm-hmm. and that's just not true at all. So I have proven that true leadership mm-hmm. is rooted in compassion and integrity. And so whether someone is a speaker or an MC or a leader or a mentor or whatever they are, we have to create experiences for people to move, to act. Mm-hmm. And we do that through kindness. We're enhancing communication skills. We're building inclusive environments. We're fostering cultures that are led by kindness and inclusion. And it just goes hand in hand. Mm-hmm. It's encouraging.
Yeah.
It's compassionate. It fuels me.
And I bet you've never met a leader that doubts you.
Yeah, no, I mean... make no mistake. Like sometimes, you know, I have this imaginary circle around me mm-hmm. and everybody is welcome in my circle. Mm-hmm. However, just because I'm kind does not give anybody right. the right to demean me or disrespect me, because the moment that happens, I will put them on the outside
yeah.
of my
yeah, and
line,
I've seen those, my circle. I've seen those boundaries and I think you right? still
and so, them and that's okay. That's okay. Cause not everybody is meant to be in that circle and that's yeah. okay. Yeah. And so sometimes, you know, as leaders, if we can be too kind or too compassionate, people might say, oh, they're giving favoritism or, oh, you know, da, 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 da. But the reality is if we treat people with equity and inclusion and diversity and belonging, this is, it's compassionate. It's encouraging for people. And those are the right people that you want on your team. And we can foster that to be transformational. Yeah. We absolutely can.
You know, it's so funny, like if I wrap up what you just said, if we as human beings, because I truly do believe there's a leader in each and every single one of us, which is ultimately the principle of Empowered in My Skin, is I think you wrap it around, if we just see people.
Yeah.
And become insatiably curious about what is their offering to
yes.
this world.
Yeah.
And give them space to be able to bloom and blossom. And make yeah. mistakes and fit, like, you know, Yeah, but see them nonetheless. I think, yeah,
we unlock. I love that, and yes, I love that, and I say that all the time. It's imperative that we make people see, feel seen, valued, and heard. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And when they do that, they feel like they're treated with integrity, mm-hmm. and it's factual. Like it's from the heart, and then you know you're making a difference in people's existence.
Yeah. So you talked about, so thank you for sharing about your MS journey, and hard to believe it's over 21 years. And I know you didn't go too deep into it, so I'll leave you, but you've defied what the doctors probably early on prescribed would be sort of what you would experience in life. Are you open to maybe share a little bit more about that? And then, you know, just a little bit more insight as to how this has actually fed your resilience, fed your purpose, fed your hope. And then maybe you could take us into, like, it continues to evolve. And you mentioned at the start that based on some recent information that you've received, that it's having you to now look ahead and plan differently. And so I think that continues to show sort of your natural gift of being resilient and being future focused. So yeah, maybe give us a little bit more insight on this journey that you've been on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, ultimately I have a disability, a disease with no cure. That's it. And so it's neurological and it's so episodic. It's so unpredictable because I could be at the top of my game on a stage delivering a great, great speech or emceeing. And then I come off the stage and the event is done and I just kind of sit in my hotel room and then I have like massive pain. In fact, I think I reached out to you once where my foot just crammed up and my toes went backwards and I had this extreme amount of pain. It just, and that was it. I was not able to walk for 2 days after that. It's so unpredictable. And I think that's also, I'm going to say this out loud. I was almost embarrassed to share it because I don't want people to not book me as a speaker or not think that I can or can't do it because of that. And you, of all people, showed me that it's okay to deliver a speech from a seat if you have to sit down, and it's okay to use a cane, and it's okay. It's just okay because it doesn't change the energy and the impact that I create. And so it's been hard because I do admit that sometimes the pain is unbearable. Mm. Okay. It's tough when I want to wake up in the morning and bring my daughter to school, and I'm not able to drive, or I'm not able to see out of my left eye because I've lost peripheral vision, or I need to type an email, but my fingertips are numb or tingly. And these are things that are invisible. Multiple sclerosis has invisible symptoms. And so I've really learned to be resilient because there's so much unknown. And anytime I have an attack or an aspiration, we never really know what kind of long lasting damage it will have on us. One of the ways that we get tested annually is by having MRIs on the brain and the spinal cord. And so I'm always wondering, you know, how many lesions, how many spots do I have in my brain? I know where I was when I was first diagnosed 21 years ago. Today I have over 40 spots in my brain, two in my spinal cord. And depending where they are, that's what impacts your mobility, cognitive function, and things like that. So it has been heavy because those are things that I, frankly, am not able to control. However, the flip side is, because I'm a big believer that you have to create what you want. And if I put my mindset in why me, that's where I'll sit. Mm-hmm. And so I had to look deep and I had to be resilient and I had to know how to deal with adversity and look at what I am and what I am not. Mm-hmm. I am kind, but I'm not naive. I am supportive, but I'm not always available. Mm-hmm. You know, I am caring, but I'm not smothering, you know, and so I have this list of, I am this and I'm not this. Like I'm lighthearted and meaningful, but I don't have toxic positivity. Yeah, you know, I'm funny, but I'm not sarcastic. And so I really focus on who I am and what I can do, and really just make the best of my situation and alter my plans as necessary and be okay with it.
Do you have, this is just more so inspired by what you're just sharing, because I mean, forget about like having MS, people that don't could have just learned a lot from what you just shared. Mm. With those that you work with in the MS community, do you have examples of, or do you have anything that really comes to mind quickly about someone whom you really helped turn around their journey?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, so many people reach out to me that I don't know, that have either seen me speak or just see my profile on Instagram and just reach out. Now, I'm not a medical doctor or a neuroscientist or neurologist, so I don't give...
You're a great motivator, though.
Thank you. I don't give advice on medicinal properties. I don't talk about drugs or anything like that, because that's a very personal journey. But I can be inspiring, and I can share a lot of mindset tips and, you know, what I've done in my journey. And ultimately, how I decided to use this is to use my voice. And so I joined, you know, the grants committee. I went to Queen's Park. I've been to Day on the Hill in Ottawa, Ontario, and to speak with dignitaries about change requests. So for example, several years ago, I was part of a volunteer group where we went to Toronto, Queen's Park, the legislation, and we basically asked for the Caregiver Act to be changed, okay? Because the way that it was written at one point in Ontario was, if someone needed to take time off to be a caregiver, they were allowed to take off 8 consecutive weeks in the year and still have their job when they come back. We, as volunteers, went to the politicians and said, look, if someone is a caregiver and needs to take someone for a chemotherapy appointment or needs to take them to this kind of appointment, they don't need 8 consecutive weeks off of work. They need 1 day, 1 week, 2 days. So our request was to take those 8 weeks, but use it when they need, use it when they need over the 8 weeks. So, but that request for policy change to go through first reading, second reading, third reading, this is a very long process when you're talking about government changes, right? But we still did it. And I'm happy to say that as a result of our lobbying, what the act was changed to was now they could now take 8 1-week increments off throughout the year and still have their job secured when they come back. How amazing is that? But that only happens with people using their voices. And so I'm part of that group. I go every year to lobby changes that impact people that are impacted, and not just multiple sclerosis. It's all challenges, disabilities, issues. And so I am philanthropic, but I'm not self-serving. I do it for the purpose of helping others.
And help others you do. And you do it in corporate spaces. You do it through your coaching program. You do it through just friendships, you know. Transparently, I participated in an experience with Gabby recently where she invited me into her platform. And what I really have loved about it is, like, I always say, like, you only grow when you get feedback. And I don't mean the feedback that tells you only that you're great, but the feedback that, you know, could feel uncomfortable. But, you know, if you allow yourself to ask questions, get curious about it, there might be some nuggets for you to take to then help evolve and shape you going forward, right? And so, Gabby, you've always been one to open up and provide feedback. And so I thank you, because I think that that's true friendship and that's love, right? And so, but the question I really want to ask on that front is, like, across all of these environments that you immerse yourself in, where you're teaching, learning, listening, gaining, what's one lesson that you feel like a common thread, perhaps, that you see consistently that has stayed with you?
I would say that it's kind to be clear, and it's clear to be kind. So what I mean by that is, sometimes it's easy to send a text and it gets misunderstood or misinterpreted. Or sometimes you have a conversation with someone, but until we are clear, until we are clear that there is full understanding, that's what kindness is. It's not about like being gray. It's black or white. Is it this or is it this? So I'm very particular about making sure that people understand. And if I have a request of somebody, or if I need to go through something, I really want to make sure that if someone's feeling down about themselves, and you know, I give them a little quick pep talk. I don't just leave the conversation. I ask them, what did you learn? What did you take from this? I really need to understand that I have been clear, because that's what kindness is. It's clear to be kind, and it's kind to be clear. Yeah. And so I would empower everybody to use that analogy. If you're communicating with someone, you may, as a leader, ask someone to complete a report, but do they really understand what you want? You got to get the clarity. You got to get the understanding back. And so that's important for me.
I love that. I got that new quote, kind to be clear and clear to be kind. That might be another episode next year.
Yeah.
And so, before I start to wind down this, this interview, what's lighting you up these days? Like, what are you actually really looking forward to, ahead of you?
Yeah, for sure. Oh my gosh, so much. And that's why I have to take a look at the plans that I had outlined for 2026. I had a moment of truth. That's an exercise that I do. That's actually derived from Toastmasters, the Toastmasters term. And so moments of truth is I take a look at everything on my plate. I take a look at everything that I want to do. And I plan it month by month. What am I going to achieve? What are my goals? Who's going to help me? Because I'm a big believer, you don't get to the top by yourself. You really need a team. And so, and that's when I realized in my moment of truth, I think I've taken on too much. I already started to feel overwhelmed before I went there. So, so I had to take a look at, I have brand pillars. I have pillars, like a framework that I used. And so I took a look at my framework and I'm like, okay, what I need to change. So what I will for sure keep is I have a group coaching program that I offer once a year. And I do that from a capacity perspective because I believe in an intimate group. And I have some professionals that I work with, and so many are like, Gabby, but if you have a group coaching program, if you have 20, 30, 40 people, you can make more money. Great. That's not my intention. Money's energy. Money's in flow. Money will come. I am looking to impact 10 people. That's it. I'm capping it, because I want to change their lives. I want to give one-on-one experiences. I want to be able to really focus and have enough capacity for them. So definitely I'm going to do my one group coaching program next year. And then that program, it's 12 sessions. But then at the end, as you know, I put them all on a live stage to deliver their signature talk. And that will then help others. And that's what I'm trying to create, is a ripple effect. I'm teaching them everything that I've learned in my 21 years of speaking. And so I want them to now learn those tips much faster than it took me. And so that's definitely a for sure. I'm still going to be doing my advocacy work. As long as I have a pulse, I'll still be volunteering. I'll still be using my voice. I'll still be going to Day on the Hill in Ottawa. I'll still be going to Queen's Park. I still will lobby changes that impact others across Canada, because I believe that, you know, we have our voice. I have a voice and I'm going to keep using it for change. That's a non-negotiable for me. I'm a mom. So, you know, my son, he's going to be going to university soon, and supporting him. And my daughter's a little younger, so it's really supporting them in their journeys and soaking up as much time as I can with them, and really just having fun and learning all the isms that they have in their day and age. I mean, I just learned, you know, 6-7, you know, so now I got to talk to them about that, and, you know, just really staying on top of the things to be a cool mom. And yeah, I'm a caregiver for my mom. So I really want to make sure that as she's in her senior years, that she has what she needs. And so making sure that I have my time with her, my quality time with her. My health is important. And so I have a health plan that I do exercise. I do my own type of exercises, but I do need to change that up next year based on where my new lesions are and based on my newest MRI results, and so it's just changing my self-care plan a little bit to fit that in. And of course, I still speak. I still speak. And I'm happy to. And I'm not boastful, but I'm really good. Like, I'm a really good speaker, and I'm a great MC. And you know, I focus on compassionate leadership and DEIB, and you know, how to achieve your dreams, and that's, if it involves helping people, I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, I have some events that I do throughout the year as well. Again, always with an intention to help people.
Yeah. You are a great speaker. You are. You're a great human. So thank you. Thank you, Gabby. So I'm going to take you through our rapid thrivers. So when you think of someone who inspires you, who comes first to mind?
Oprah.
Okay. I wasn't expecting that.
No. That was the first name I could get. Now that we have
that's great.
To my mind, she's very philanthropic. She's been very successful. She's a speaker. She's lovely. So that was, and she gives away things. I want to do that.
Yeah,
I
want to you get one.
Things away. Yes.
Give to Gain, which is the theme of the International Women's Day 2026. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
What is a daily activity that helps you with your thrive?
I would say, there's so many. I would say my hand exercises. I know that might sound very bizarre, but the reality is I get spasticity. I get very tight hands and fingers and fingertips, and we all have to type on our phones and our keyboards. And so as soon as I wake up, I have my hand exercises, and it's not easy. Like, we can do one, like put your fist in one and then just kind of point to the other. Now switch. Not as easy as it is. Now do that fast. Not as easy, right? It's not as easy as it looks, right? Look at you. Right? It's not as easy as it looks.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But these are exercises. Open. Right?
That and is so
funny. It's being intentional. Even something as simple as this, like put your fingers together and take note of what thumb is on top. Put your thumbs down.
Yeah.
What thumb do you have on top?
Right.
You're right. Okay. Yeah. So now do your a slow flip. So that the order of your fingers change and your opposite thumb is on top, what you just had.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So not as comfortable, but manageable, right?
Yes.
And so the lesson there is you can do it. It's just maybe uncomfortable at the beginning. But like anything, like this exercise that I just did with you, it's difficult. People will open their hands and stuff.
Yes.
But I do that to train my brain because cognitively that's exercising my brain, my fingers. And then, of course, I stretch them and I do different exercises to really just make sure that I'm taking care of my needs.
So what I was going to share, interestingly, because I just came back from a conference and the speaker, phenomenal, Dr. Michelle Dickinson, she's a nanotechnologist, and she was talking about the amygdala. I know you love brain, you study the brain. Yeah, you love everything on the brain. So she's talking about the amygdala, and she was talking about the prefrontal cortex. And so she says so right now we were all engaged, and she says your prefrontal cortex is active. And then she says, now I'm going to ask you to take either your watch or your ring and have you switch it to the other side. And she says, first of all, probably for some of you afterwards, it was difficult to actually try to put it on the other. So I did my watch. It was, and she was right. It was hard for me to get it on. And then she says, now that it's on, I bet you that you have actually lost concentration on listening to me. And you're now thinking, why is my watch on my other hand? Yeah. My watch is on my other hand. My watch is on my other hand. And suddenly your amygdala is active, right? And then she kept going on. Like, for any of you that kept, like, so she kept talking and blah, blah, blah. And she says, right about now, for any of you that actually kept your watch on your other hand, I bet you you're probably still wondering, why is your watch on your other hand? You feel it on your, and it's so funny because it felt heavier. I actually felt the weight of my watch where I never feel it on my left hand. And even when I went to go and check the time, I automatically went for my left hand instead of my right. Anyway, so that ended up being, and she says, you know, it's just sometimes, and it was all about entertaining change into our lives. ourselves. Like, so one of the things I do is I brush my teeth with my left hand. I'm right-handed, yes. So my left hand. But I'm, she says, yeah, if you want, just try for a week. And by the end of the week, it'll be normal for you to wear your, anyway. So it's interesting that you did that because it is odd and it changes where your brain, what parts of your brain are being used, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so many people exercise as they should. But I also exercise my brain and I do Sudoku and I do crosswords and I do these hand exercises. And there's so many that I do, but I do that to really stimulate my brain because I think that's just so important given the challenges that I have cognitively.
Yeah.
Hmm. And somebody asked me once, they said, why do you speak? And ultimately, originally I was speaking because like exercise, speaking ensures that I have to remember what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. And that's practice. Like I spoke on a 10X stage. That's an 18-minute speech with no notes. Mm-hmm. So for the average person, that is not an easy task, right?
Yeah.
But then someone who has cognitive memory issues, that's even more amplified. Mm-hmm. And so I have different ways. But I was able to deliver an awesome keynote speech or like a TEDx talk, but I did that because of all the practice that I do to be able to memorize and retain.
And I love that you push yourself into the hard. I love it. Yeah. What is a book that has helped you with your thrive?
Oh my gosh. The Spark. And that is not your typical book for someone like me who is looking for personal development. That actually ties into a mother-child scenario because when my son was younger, I was having a hard time helping him with his challenges, his anxiety challenges. And The Spark really, really helped me understand this ladder effect and focusing on what he can do well versus what he cannot do. And I learned that it's not the child that has to change, it's the parent. And so that book taught me in general to help him overcome his anxiety, but also to help me as a human to be able to focus on what I can do to change because I can't be changing other people. It's me.
I love that. And I actually I pulled it up while you were speaking. It's by Kristen Barnett. I'll share the information in the show notes. But there's a subtitle, which is A Mother's Story of Nurturing Genius.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. And my son today, he's amazing.
He's amazing. He's absolutely amazing. Yeah.
Yes.
What is an app that helps you with your thrive?
Oh my gosh. One app?
You're so funny on all of these questions. Yeah,
why? Why only one?
Because that's the way we do it on Empowered of My Skin.
Don't change
the rules. No, just kidding.
Yeah, I have so many apps. I have a health app. I have
what's the health?
You know, I'm in perimenopause, so I have my do you track?
Yeah, my period.
Your period.
Yeah, it's
and
actually
stuff?
My favorite app.
Okay, cool.
Because so there's I more than you could put in there. It's actually I think you can share. I think you can like put your sexual life there.
Yes. Okay, cool. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't need to lower the volume on that. I noticed. Yeah.
I don't know why, but it wasn't PG, but yeah, you get it. It tracks everything.
Yeah. So I track my period app. Gosh, I mean, I have lots of apps. I have a shopping app.
Okay.
You know, some days I feel like my steps are counted and I'm not embarrassed to say I order groceries sometimes that's okay for me. So I have my grocery app of doing that. I like Rakuten. I do like that. I mean, I'm looking at my phone. That's why my eyes are down, but gosh, I mean, the school has an app, so I'm constantly in there because I'm not interested in always looking through long emails. So the school just gives me a nice synopsis of what's going on. I'm in there daily, so I always know what I'm doing with the kids. So I give you more than one, but there's just so many.
I know. I love it. These are all apps to help you to thrive in different ways.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, final rapid thriver, though these were not rapid thrivers with you, but what is one misconception that people have of you as they see you on stage and doing what you do?
I think some people think that I'm naive because I'm kind. And ultimately, I know my boundaries, mm-hmm. and I'm okay to remove someone from my circle if I have to, and I'm okay to share my feelings, and I'll be very politically correct about it, and I'm not demeaning or anything like that. I'm not naive.
I love that.
I'm pretty intentional, I have to say.
I love that. I love that. I love you. So where do we find more of you, Gabby, online?
Okay. Well, I mean, I hang out most on Instagram out of all the social platforms. I'm on LinkedIn and all the Facebook as well, but I hang out most on Instagram, and it's my full name, Gabby with one B. So it's GabyMammone. Mm-hmm. And then I also have two websites, my company website, which is kindprojects.ca, and then my speaking website, which is GabyMammone.ca. And yeah, I'm around.
We'll share all the links.
Yeah.
And so as a parting question, finish this sentence for us. I'm empowered in my skin when?
When I make people feel seen, valued, and heard. That's what it's all about.
You do that for me all the time, and I appreciate you. Gabby, it was such a blessing and such an honor to be able to interview you, truly, and to just, you know, get into, put you in the seat. And I just thank you. I thank you for the continued grace that you bring into this world and how you truly, you know, light up rooms and allow others to shine, and how you're using your life to make sure that other people are seen, heard, and appreciated and valued. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. I have to say, what you see in me, I see in you. So the love is mutual. Thank you.
And to everyone who's listening, this is Sally, where I have to say, we're out. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you have it. I trust that you are feeling more empowered in your skin. As the late Dr. Maya Angelou said, when you get, you give. When you learn, you teach. So it would mean so much for us at Empowered in My Skin, Inc. if you share this episode and tag us or teach an insight that you took from today's episode on your social and tag us. Feel free to leave us a review over at iTunes and follow us on social media at Empowered in My Skin. Finally, remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode.